Hello and welcome to the CX App Live, an interview-style podcast addressing topics, trends, and tips for creating real-time digital experiences in a customer-first, customer-last world. This show for briefing and meeting professionals brings you authentic and unfiltered conversations with industry experts who know how to elevate customer experience across people, teams, and programs. Let's listen in.
Welcome, everyone, to our CX App Live podcast series dedicated to today's briefing professionals. I'm Darby Mason-Werner, Senior Director, Client and Partner Strategy with the CX App. I'm excited to be interviewing thought leaders across our industry who can share their experiences and ideas of how to help us all improve our programs. And today's discussion focus is going to be on digital experience management. One of the biggest challenges that briefing programs face is curating impactful content that resonates with our guests. Whether it's personalized digital signage, fully immersive experiences, or demonstration areas with key takeaways, we want our content to be meaningful and create a memorable experience. Now we're seeing a shift from this effort being deemed simply content management to digital experience management. That is to uplevel all forms of messaging, corporate branding, directional signage, immersive spaces, and even in-room content. So let's learn more about this shift. And today I'm so happy to be joined by Marshall Thompson, Senior Director of Client Solutions at Signet. Marshall is a creative sales executive with a comprehensive technical knowledge foundation. He's diversely experienced with remedying problems and creating successes for his customers. Marshall listens attentively, communicates persuasively, and follows through diligently, which I just love. I love that statement. And Marshall is a strong advocate for enabling briefing programs to orchestrate their customers' experience in the most impactful and automated of ways. First, in his 7+ years with Whitlock, Marshall developed a keen understanding of audiovisual technology and how to integrate different systems together in order to provide programs with a reliable foundation to distribute their content. In his 2 years with Signet, he's helped establish a new way to bring a holistic approach to solving his customers' digital experience dilemma. And I truly enjoyed working side by side with Marshall as his colleague, and I'm so proud to call him my friend. I'm especially grateful for Marshall being here today to share his thoughts with all of us. Hey, Marshall, it's great to be chatting with you today. Thanks for your time.
Hi, Darby. So great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I've been starting out all of our podcasts by asking folks about their journey to the briefing world, because, you know, we didn't all go to college to be in the briefing world. So can you share your journey with us briefly?
Well, that's certainly true for me. It was definitely not a direct path into the executive briefing world. Early in my career, as you mentioned, in the audiovisual space, I had the opportunity to really just by chance work with some pretty major programs. One of the major programs I was exposed to early was the Verizon Innovation Program. Back in the days when 4G LTE was just coming onto the scene, and they had a monumental task of introducing that technology to the world and helping them understand the unique value of what Verizon was bringing to the table in terms of this new initiative. And that being a multi-year marketing push resulted in all sorts of opportunities for me to work alongside with those teams and building experience centers and innovation centers, and even tracking with things like executive hospitality events, which really helped to tell the whole story of the brand. And I just fell in love with not only the cool experiences and environments that we were able to work on together and bring to life, but also the individuals that we find in this space. You know, as you know so well, Darby, the folks in these immersive executive briefing environments by nature happen to be great communicators, great listeners, and very understanding professionals, but also have the ability and the bandwidth to really push the envelope on what these corporate environments can actually be. So I just really a thirst to learn from those sorts of professionals that are doing such interesting things in the space and as far as technology, but also just bring that kind of coolness under pressure and the great communication skills that make people really exciting and fun to work with. So it's what started as a happy accident, I'm really glad to call the my career at this point and work alongside with folks like yourself and all our great partners.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I love that. These happy accidents that happen. And then, you know, what you said about being cool under pressure, I think everybody in the briefing world, it's so true. You know, I always use the analogy of, you know, you're the duck on top of the water and nobody's seeing all the paddling that you're doing underneath. You know, you just like stay calm and collected as we, you know, orchestrate all of these experiences as we do. So that's perfect. Sure. Yeah. All right. So great. So looking forward to our conversation. And, you know, as we always say, you know, trying to simplify the lives of our briefing professionals out there that are listening with all the best practices and key tips and tricks and things that we can do to help them out. It's awesome. So let me just jump into our first question for today. And that is, you know, there seems to be many different definitions of content management. And now that we're making the shift to digital experience management, you know, can you share with our audience what your definition is? What is that?
Certainly, Darby. I think a big motivation for me thinking of the solutions that I help our partners to define and execute as digital experiences, just because of the broadness of the definition of content management, with all sorts of assets going into the management of content for any sort of engagement with a client, it's really just if that would cover the entire scope of how you would interact with a client, from email copy to presentation content. There's really just too much to narrow down when we look at it through the lens of content. So as I think of it from the Signet perspective, we're really looking to any sort of branded medium that is intended to either inform or entertain in a way that's going to be, it's going to be set apart from your everyday experiences that you might encounter in a traditional meeting or interaction with a client or partner. So I think of it from the Signet perspective across a few different areas. So there's virtual experiences, which could cover applications and purely digital means of interacting with your clients. That could be collaboration via tools like Zoom video conferencing or purpose-built client experience applications. I believe that a big part of this for Signet is the immersive branded spaces. So purpose-built environments that are intended to tell brand stories and provide a forum for leaders to come together to map out new solutions and path forward for kind of impactful and exciting new business initiatives. And then finally, there's the presentation content with the actual meat of what we're reviewing in a meeting, which can be as simple as a traditional PowerPoint or a very immersive presentation space with technology that we've never seen before. And along with that, you know, there's takeaway collateral that can be served in a number of different ways, which, you know, we both are interested in providing streamlined methods to give that content to our users, as well as memorable ways to actually deliver whatever that experience might be through a digital means.
Yeah, there's a whole lot to it, obviously. You know, I think we used to think of content as, you know, what video are we putting on the wall? You know, and I think it's definitely grown from that. And we can think about it in all of these different realms, all these different ways. How do we make that experience, you know, extend for them after with those takeaway materials? And how do we make sure that all of those pieces are available, you know, to create that experience and have it be memorable? So with that,
exactly.
Now that this is all kind of come to be part of the mix, if you will, to create that experience, you know, what do you think is the biggest challenge for our briefing professionals now? What is the hardest thing for them to maybe keep their content up to date, and how can they kind of manage all of those pieces?
Certainly. Well, first of all, let's acknowledge what a monumental challenge it can be for briefing professionals that work inside of these massive brands to keep up with the velocity of business that we're doing today. So just a nod to anybody who's even attempting this in the first place.
For sure, yeah.
Kudos to you for that effort. But the great part is that there are a number of ways to streamline processes and tools and tricks that we can use to make those tasks more efficient and hopefully more impactful to the consumers of that content. I think that in terms of limitations, internal bandwidth is a massive issue. You know, we've got a lot of talented professionals that are in the business of day in and day out putting on world-class briefing experiences for some of the biggest clients in the world. And as we both know, there's a ton of logistics and detail that go into delivering that sort of premium experience. So just having the time to even consider what is going to be different about the digital experience for a given client, or creating those assets that would actually make it most impactful for whoever's coming in for a briefing that day. Another limitation is simple tools. So having a common system to be able to distribute whatever the content is that's made on a per briefing basis to all of those appropriate destinations. So, you know, common examples would be digital signage throughout the space that may welcome the client by name and logo and some industry aligned messaging, or presentation actually in the room, and then moving on to more immersive, interactive digital experiences through the form of demos and specialized presentations. And finally, I think just having a support system, a team of partners or internal resources that are actually attuned to what a calendar briefing in a given week actually operates like, and having empathy for that high speed pace that we have to align to, and being able to produce assets that are going to be meaningful to those audiences on that pace. It's really just about mapping out a network of partners and internal resources that can help you drive that strategy and understand what it is that you're trying to achieve on a daily basis. I think a lot of it comes down to empathy.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And building that team, whether it's internal or it's partners that you're bringing in from all different aspects of the experience, that you can really work together and support each other. And everybody understands that common goal. Like you said, you know, let's map it out for this week. You know, we've got 10 briefings going on this week, and, you know, we need XYZ over here. And you know, how are you kind of even customizing certain aspects of that? You know, how many times we'll be in the demo room, and, you know, how do you bring that whole team together? But I loved what you said about being able to streamline things and even automating things. That's a way to really allow our briefing program managers and team members to take things off their checklist. And that's how we simplify their life. We want to take those things off that list. So if they don't have to be running around to do five extra things that morning because they know the system is going to take care of it, that's so important. So my next question is really around that. So what kinds of specific technology and applications are there that can help us manage these things? So, you know, folks that maybe don't have some of these tools in place would actually be able to go and look at the right places and what they can do to put those in place.
Yeah, exactly, Darby. As you said, it's really about automating as many of the kind of mundane tasks as possible to ensure that these briefing professionals are able to do what they do best on a daily basis, which is curate unforgettable experiences for their clients and partners. And obviously the digital layer, it helps with that considerably, but because of its digital nature, we're able to employ these concepts of automation and integration that should really minimize the tasks and execution that are required by those professionals on a regular basis. It's all about delivering strategies that are aligned to the brand and their unique methods of how they may work with clients, to be able to come up with ways that we know, you know, once set are going to be well aligned to each client conversation, and it's going to be the right messaging without having to think about it. You know, These are such high profile, high visibility embeds that we understand that failure is not an option. And so it's all about having the systems and also having systems that you can trust. So a few of those tools I believe are simple content management software, and that's a pretty broad definition. So when I speak to that, I'm referring to a software interface that allows you to schedule and manage different digital assets across any display that may be connected within your program, whether it's a single site or an entire global estate. And then using that content management software, which is has normal parameters like time-bound events, on Monday, X content should play. On Tuesday, it should be the next bit of content according to whatever variables are defined, whether it's for special events or client-aligned content specifically, whatever it is, that's all capable. But looking further ahead, there's a number of tools and tricks that we can use on top of that content management and distribution technology that really can have impactful results. And they're really based on where we're at in terms of emerging technology and what is possible with all of the modern audio video systems that we have available in these executive briefing centers is very attainable, in my opinion. So it's taking that baseline content management and then applying themes of automation. So we see in almost all briefing programs, there is either a dedicated scheduling tool. There's a few flavors out there that are well known throughout the space, but even as simple as something as a Google Calendar or using your Microsoft tool set to manage briefings in a very kind of simple way, those data points can all drive downstream content experiences. So a great example would be nearly every program has a welcome screen in their reception area. So when a client walks in the door on the day of their briefing, they're greeted by a welcome message, hopefully their name and logo, so they feel anticipated and like work has gone into the preparation for the meeting that they're going to have that day. And there's really no reason why, if things like the client name are already being input into some sort of scheduling system, the content management software couldn't pull that via some kind of software-based integration and do all the work of publishing that content to the reception screen all on your behalf, all in the digital layer without having to click any button. So that's kind of step one for automation. And then if we can think like a computer, if this happens, then that event should happen next, we can look at all sorts of data points, like what industry does the client represent and have industry aligned chapters of content? Or maybe we want to look at the level of seniority of the guests that are coming in that day so we can align messaging from, say, another C-suite representative from our own firm. So an infinite number of hooks or data points that we could use to trigger content events. It's really about building strategies and that content, those chapters of content that are going to align to each of those categories or buckets, if you will, to make that automation more impactful. Another interesting method of driving content experiences that feel really kind of delightful or magical to the users are sensor-driven environments. So this is in form of things like it could be simple proximity based on an RFID name tag or maybe a personal device like a phone or a tablet could basically trigger different content events based on who a person is that's entered a space or just their proximity at all to make magic happen. And it's really those moments where you are experiencing something that you are not anticipating at all that can really make a digital interaction very meaningful, can add to that whole, the element of magic of the whole experience. And so I'm thinking that that's a great way that programs are taking advantage of now and will be even more available to the future as these sensors start to get more connected and will drive down in price ultimately in the near future. And the last technique I wanted to mention on is distribution networks. So essentially tying your content management software into some sort of distribution model, which allows you to connect all of your disparate sites. different sites, different geographies to be able to drive consistency across your program so you can ensure that the messaging is going to be of the same caliber across all of your client interactions, whether they're at headquarters in Silicon Valley or a small satellite site somewhere else, totally on the other side of the world. So leveraging concepts like the cloud to be able to take your, you know, well-planned content management strategies and tricks to a global distribution model where they can be available to your entire team across whatever geography they happen to be in.
Wow. Yeah. So many great points in there. Thank you for talking about the integration with the scheduling tools. I think that's a key piece of where we save a lot of time and effort because teams are already working in those programs. You know, they can select that industry and then boom, different content shows up that is, again, personalizing at another level for folks as they walk in to the space. But thank
exactly.
you. Yeah. But thank you for also saying about being able to connect with those folks who maybe don't have those scheduling tools. So it's still possible for them, whether they're using a Google Calendar or the Microsoft tools. There's other ways that those programs, maybe the smaller programs, which obviously are near and dear to my heart, that may not have some of the other tools, they still have the possibility of doing this. So that's really important for them to know. And I also love that you were talking about ways of triggering the content and what we're seeing with the newer technologies, the RFID and some of the sensors, and the fact that those prices are coming down. That technology has been around long enough now that we're able to also make that available maybe to some of those programs who maybe are not thinking that they could do that. There's ways to talk about that and strategize on how to bring those pieces into their spaces also, which they may not have realized before. So, you know, bringing that magical element when they don't have a budget of, you know, a Verizon or some of these larger programs that we all love to see. So that's really key. And then, again, on the global piece, I can't even say enough how important that is because two things. One, you touched on the consistency. But being able to have that kind of centered from a central content management system where the content itself might be curated even by one or two team members that supports the whole global organization. So everybody in those other sites, you know, they're getting that material. If they have to localize it a little bit, great, but they're getting it and it's being distributed out to their endpoints without them having to worry about having to individually manage it. Fantastic. So if the customers are visiting in different sites, they are seeing that consistent brand message. They are seeing similar imagery and look and feel, and they're getting the same experience in a way. So it's great to see how all of those pieces, the technology is allowing for that across all programs, which I think is really important.
You got it, Darby.
All right, great. So along those lines, then we want to look at kind of up-leveling the experience and being able to simplify the process for delivering that meaningful content. We've already talked about the automation pieces of that. And you touched on how we want the client to feel, you know, once they've left, this should be a very memorable experience. Can you talk a little bit more about how we can do that, make the content a little more meaningful? You touched on maybe scheduling on Mondays and Tuesdays, but can you talk about maybe content chapters and how can we maybe break it down to smaller chunks so that our folks that don't have a content curator on staff can maybe, you know, manage that within their spaces?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the concept of automation, it can be so broad when we think of it in this context, as far as making certain data points trigger different events, and really the sky's the limit for what's possible there. But I think it, as far as this application, and especially in the through the lens of bandwidth constricted or resource constricted programs, it's all about defining ways to streamline workflows. So having automated content that aligns to your customer conversation is obviously powerful, but going a level deeper into how we would actually enable that sort of experience, I think a lot of that comes down to, first of all, having a partner and a team that understands kind of the wide variety of different conversations that are happening, and the interest in kind of uncovering new opportunities and form of cross-sell, upsell opportunities in these conversations is a powerful one. So looking at data points, like we mentioned, for industry aligned content, and then understanding, you know, based on who that customer represents, how can we cue messaging that's going to be most relevant to that user? So, you know, just continuing with the kind of ubiquitous welcome screen example, say, if we know that a customer, let's call it Bank of America, is coming in tomorrow morning, we can leverage the automation to, of course, populate their name, logo on that display. Hopefully you'll have a moment where the executive walking in through your reception area is delighted by seeing their name and logo. And, you know, we always get the report of X CEO took a selfie in front of our welcome screen and posted it to Twitter and LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion, that's
when that happens.
It's a huge win. If that's happened, you've really done your job and you can feel good about your work for the day. But to go a layer deeper, to look at maybe who that customer represents in terms of industry, and maybe align a customer case study of somebody who's in that, representing that same vertical. So with Bank of America, that could be, you know, a Wells Fargo customer success quote, or, you know, a case study of a solution that was delivered for the NASDAQ stock index. So, you know, there's so many opportunities to look at how we categorize those client interactions and then think of how we align relevant and content that's really going to resonate with those guests. And understanding that there's some commonalities across what's going to be relevant, you know, regardless of industry, that's where we can implement a templated content creation workflow. So the same as what we're familiar with in kind of the PowerPoint presentation building world, using a high-powered template that would accommodate a multi-layer kind of full motion content strategy, so it looks compelling and dynamic from a visual experience, but has some simple means in which non-graphic designers, non-specialists are able to create content that remains on brand, but is very streamlined in terms of workflow. So we have a new customer success story come down the line. It's not Bank of America anymore. It's somebody totally different. The ability to kind of easily change text or imagery within that template. So it's only a few clicks instead of having to reimagine what that content strategy would be. And I think that's very powerful in terms of enabling team members who understand the business story very well and understand, you know, what's going to be meaningful to the guests, but may not have the specialized tools or skill sets required to be true content creators. We can deliver them a framework in which to work, and they can create new assets to their heart's content, but all within the safety and guardrails of a templated solution. So that's one way. And the result of that, when those templates are fully built out and you've worked with a provider or with an internal team to come up with all these different scenarios of how content will align to specific conversations, really the dream, the end result that we've been able to help our customers achieve, or at least lay the groundwork for, is a total visual transformation of the space, whether it's one room or 20 rooms. You, with the right automation and the right content strategy defined upfront and fully built out, it can really feel like your visual environment transforms according to who the customer is that's going to be in that center that day. And then that's going to happen on a daily basis, ongoing, that we're kind of changing that center over and look and feel to best align to who the audience is and what's going to be meaningful to them from a content perspective.
Absolutely. I love that you're talking about how can you make it so that it's easier for folks to be able to go in and update themselves. You know, if they've got certain chapters, it's already all laid out. The system's already scheduled to do what it's doing. I just need to go into this one place and change this name, change these words, save, and boom, it's done. You know, and it can be done across whatever endpoints that it's tied to, you know, understanding the layout of their center. But being able to do that, I think, is so important. and being able to have that transformation that you're talking about by setting the strategy, figuring out those content chapters, and then maybe, you know, once you set that, maybe you're only having to go and update small segments of that, you know, every quarter. You don't have to update, you know, all five chapters. Maybe, you know, this quarter you work on updating a particular chapter and you're working on getting those customer case studies updated. And, you know, next quarter we're going to work on more executive quotes, or, you know, so you're constantly rotating something new in, but you're not having to take on the whole thing at one time, which I think is key for this, you know, folks with
exactly
the long
right.
checklist.
I mean, the modular approach can be very helpful to break up what those assets are and give you a more manageable catalog of content that you have to deal with.
Exactly. And in the short time we have left, I also want to make sure we touched on one of the questions I had for you was about working with our internal teams. Like, who should we try to partner with to be able to collect some of that content and maybe get it on a regular basis? You know, I always had issues with trying to get the latest campaign materials and source files and whatnot to be able to have that available on my digital displays in my center, you know, and then starting to build relationships with certain teams and even trying to get on their, you know, campaign launch document so that somehow I wasn't always begging for content, you know, after they took their demos to the events around the world. You know, I wanted to be first. I didn't want to be last on the list. So who, which I know a lot of programs, you know, deal with. So who would you say internally maybe we can work with more closely to maybe help us stay informed and stay relevant, not have to go begging?
Got it. Yeah. And obviously this is an area where there's a lot of nuance involved. It's all about building these alliances internally and with your partner networks to establish a workflow and a system that's going to be most effective for your unique corporate structure and the personalities within. So with that in mind, I think that there's a few obvious and applicable correlations to make with internal teams and outside partners. So first of which would be the marketing content organization. So these individuals are defining that high level strategy for what the brand messaging is based on, you know, seasonal or regional factors, you know, new emerging technology that may be coming available or whatever it is. These are the individuals that are really defining what that strategy looks like at a brand level. So establishing those relationships and building a pipeline, if you will, to make sure that the briefing program is at the forefront of getting ahead of those announcements as new campaigns are becoming available.
Yep.
So you have the time to react before they're actually published out. You know, the last thing we want to see with our clients is that they are playing catch up to the brand. Yeah, in our mind, with the right systems and internal alliances in place, as those campaigns get published or move to that phase of their life cycle, that the briefing program should be in lockstep with that activity, at least to be making the right steps to prepare for kind of a cohesive launch date to make sure that if high visibility announcements are coming down the line, that the program has the ability to react and be kind of the flagship of how that messaging is represented, not just a reactive.
Yes, exactly.
to catch up.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. Some other interesting ones. I think so. Big one is social media. Many of our clients have entire teams that are managing social media presences.
Right.
And because of the nature of those outlets, it's all about velocity. It's all about delivering a large amount of content across a very wide audience. So just taking advantage of the sheer output of those teams, but then also using some tools, because these are digital means, the digital outlets, of actually integrating those feeds into your content strategy without requiring any sort of manual work or even a conversation, to just port in specific channels of social media from your brand directly to your digital displays. And through the magic of software, we're able to make that happen pretty easily. So that's very low-hanging fruit, in my opinion, to take advantage of that social media content, which by definition is very up-to-date.
Yeah, exactly. Making sure it's the filtered version for corporations, of course. But you're right. Yeah, it's constantly dynamic and changing. So yeah, just make it part of the strategy of where it can be most impactful in the space. And yeah, then you've got a constant flow of content right there.
Exactly. And related to that, and this is maybe pushing the comfort zone slightly, but in this day and age, our modern executives they're not just high level decision makers. They're truly becoming the face of these brands, big or small. And so understanding the power of personal branding and the investment that modern executives are making in that presence, the same as we would take advantage of kind of a corporate level social media strategy, bringing in the individual executives' personal brands into that experience as well. And obviously that's a little trickier. We have some privacy things that we want to be aware of, but in general, the concept of people are doing business with people, not just companies. And so harnessing the power of your executive personal brand and how you communicate with your customers. And finally, the events organization. So, the folks that are running events for things like new product announcements are obviously on the forefront of new initiatives that are coming down the line. So ensuring that you at least have your finger on the pulse for things that are going to be topics of discussion for sales kickoffs and new product announcements. Obviously, if you're using an Apple as an example, if you're aware of what's going to be in discussion at the Worldwide Developer Conference, you've got a huge head start on what's going to be relevant to the next year briefing content.
Absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense, too. And as we know, folks go to events, build the awareness, then the sales guys are going to bring them into the briefing center. So it's just all part of that sales cycle, each of the steps in the process. So that makes total sense.
So, the last thing we want is a new exciting product to get launched at an event and then have to be in a situation where sales executives want to bring clients in to actually see and hear about it and be in a position where you're
able
to play
catch up. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So perfect. Well, gosh, Marshall, thank you so much for all of these great insights and tips and things. I just want to see, do you have any kind of final thoughts or any ideas about how can we continue to try to be more strategic with our digital experience and how we're managing that content? Any other final thoughts for our audience?
Yeah, Darby, thank you. So I think one major shift that I'm recognizing across the industry is the simplification of these themes of digital experience as we think about them. And this has a lot to do with the evolution of technology and our understanding of what's actually possible. But, taking demystifying this whole concept, and I think what that comes down to is really becoming educated on what tools are available, but also aligning to outside specialists that are purely focused on the digital realm of what these immersive client centers can be. So whereas before it was a little bit of trying to find the right answer to something that didn't exist previously, and this whole concept of experience centers or briefing centers at all is not an old concept at all. So as we build out firms and internal organizations that are focused on this, really taking advantage of those emerging ideas in the space and making sure that you're poking your head up from the business as usual at your program and taking time to assess the landscape of providers out there. And really, this is such a collaborative community, really relying on that network of providers, of peer organizations that are in the space to have a constant dialogue about what are opportunities, big or small, that we can continue to push the experience. So my advice is, join the conversation, join the professional events that are so much fun in the space because of the great people that we have in the community. But but keep the conversation going and invite your peers, invite suppliers that you may not understand what they do to join the conversation and evaluate your own digital experiences and provide recommendations on where you might be able to improve. And those might not be immediately actionable, but it helps to set a course for how you're going to up-level the experience in the future. It shows that initiative to leadership and really is going to be the way that we get from the experience that you have today to something beyond what we could possibly imagine tomorrow.
Wow, fantastic insights. I love that. Thank you so much. I think, what you're talking about, especially as we know with our ABPM community, but also all of those other members that are out there that are driving the technologies forward, but keeping that curiosity alive and making sure that we're staying connected and inviting folks into the conversation, continuing to do our research. All of those great things just continues to make our briefing industry just fantastic. And I loved what you said too about really bringing this to your leadership. They can see that you're taking initiative. They can see that you're always thinking about the next step and what is your roadmap and how are you always continuing to improve and trying to be more strategic and bring more value to the business and obviously, close more sales for the company. I mean, that's why we have our centers and our programs.
Name of the game.
So, yeah, there you go. So gosh, Marshall, thanks so much. This was so great. Loved chatting with you and just love all of these tips and tricks for our audience. I think they're just going to get so much out of it and just really enjoyed chatting with you. Thank you.
Darby, it's always a pleasure to reconnect with you. I love what you're doing here with the podcast. So please keep it up. I'll be looking forward to hearing this and all the guests that you have in store for us.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet. All right. And with that, I'm going to say thank you to everyone that's listening in today. You can listen to this and other episodes in our series by visiting www.thecxapp.com/podcast or through the My ABPM Community app now as well. And please subscribe so you can stay informed and see our future podcast episodes. And as always, if you have any thoughts or questions about today's podcast, or you have ideas for future briefing industry related podcast topics that you'd like to see us cover in this series, the best way to reach me is by email, and that's at darby@thecxapp.com. And I just thank you all so much for joining today.
This has been a production of the CX App Live, your partner in digital customer experience programs. For more insights, tips, and trends, visit us at thecxapp.com, where the experience is everything.